Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. Karen Davis is the founder of Pink Lemon Branding and Design. Over the last few years, the business has changed direction slightly, and now Karen helps other business owners to create online courses. She says that networking is what allowed her to do this. Thank you very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Karen.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So you're now an online course coach and you do branding and design, but what's your background? What did you study and what was your first job?
Oh, that's going back quite a bit. So it's interesting. I've had a bit of a journey, really, because when I first started out, when I left school, I actually went into London and I was working in a complete different sort of job, if you like. I started out as a junior secretary, working in sort of corporate environments. And it wasn't until I was 22 that I actually took the summer off. I went traveling, and then when I came back, I decided that I wanted to become a graphic designer. That was what I desired, because before I went traveling, I was working in an ad agency, and I was doing a lot of their sort of presentations there for international pitches, and I was doing graphic design. So I found that I had a flair for it, and I was always arty at school. And so I decided to sort of qualify myself, get myself qualified to become a graphic designer. So I then spent 5 years at night school whilst I had this other career in London. And then at the age of 28, I decided to walk away from my career and go to university and go and get my honours degree and qualify to become a graphic and web designer. So I studied graphic media, which encompassed branding, design, digital, all of that good stuff. And then I qualified officially when I was 31. So even though during my time in London, I'd sort of gradually moved over into sort of more design work. Officially, I had graduated, at 31. And then I sort of walked out of university. I did get my first job straight away. And I was working for a national brand as their graphic and web designer in the marketing team. So for me, my journey with education was sort of like that 8 year period where I just decided to sort of change everything, really.
That is quite a journey. Commitment to do, the night school for 5 years and then go on and do your degree as a mature student. Did you ever think about giving it up? You think, oh God, this is just too much.
Do you know what? I didn't, because I loved it. Very early on I've always been this person that when I was younger, I wanted to have this big career. And one of the films that really inspired me was The Working Girl with Melanie Griffiths. I don't know if you remember it. And so in my head, I had this idea of I was going to go to London, I was going to start from the bottom, and I was going to work my way up. But when I got into my first job, the reality was very different. And then I sort of progressed and I had sort of various other jobs after that. And what I realized was that I wasn't on the right path. And actually, the thing that I wanted, I wasn't going to get with what I was doing. Yeah. It just didn't fill me with the feelings that I expected to have.
Yeah.
So when I took that time out and I went traveling, that was the time that I was able to really sort of think about, what is it that I actually want and what do I want my life to be? And I think when I came back, I was so motivated to make this big shift. I didn't realise that at the time. It's only when you look back, you realise that the universe is kind of at play. But I loved it. I loved it. I absolutely... the courses that I took, I was doing things from like visual thinking to typography design, graphic design, digital marketing, digital media. I loved it. And so when I went and did my degree, it was a vocational degree. So it was very much hands-on, gaining industry experience whilst we were get, you know, working on our degree. And I absolutely loved it. I was in my element.
Yeah.
And at no time did I think that this wasn't for me. If anything, it just made me more hungry for the thing that, you know, I'd set out to achieve.
Yeah, fantastic. So you went on to work in graphic design. And at what point did you decide you were going to go and work for yourself?
So my husband and I, we've been together since we were 17. So wow. We are childhood sweethearts, I know. And it's funny because I feel like the reality is I've been with him longer than I've not been with him, if that makes sense, my age now. So we were together a long time before we got married. We got married when I was 27. So we'd been together 10 years.
Mm.
And then we waited another 5 years to have our children. So I'd waited 15 years, if you like, before we decided to start a family. When we then decided to take that leap, one of the things that was really important for me was that I needed to be around for my children. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be a part-time mum.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was working in a design agency and the hours that I was having to work were not feasible with bringing up a family. They required a lot from me. So I had to make a decision. If we were going to go down this road of having children, then I needed to make myself available. But because I had got myself qualified and I had my degree and I'd made this big change, I realised that I was able to take control and I was able to freelance. So when my daughter started school, that was when it became very clear that I had to make a change. And so it was just before she started school that I decided to go freelancing. Mm. And then when she started school, I then decided to launch my business. But it was all about just being around for the kids. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to be available to them and to be able to do the school pickup at the end of the day.
Yeah. And has that worked out well for you?
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? We start these businesses because we think we live under this illusion that it's going to give us more time and it's going to give us more freedom. And then what happens is that you get busy and then you end up taking on loads of clients and then there becomes more demand on your time. And for me, especially going into lockdown, I was running a lot of projects because in my studio, I was focusing on branding and web projects. And it was great. I was getting busy. I was obviously doing a really good job and getting new clients. But it did get to a point where I was having to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I'd sort of was my goal, if you like, of being available, I was starting to lose that because I was having, there were more deadlines that I had to work towards. So instead of having one employer, it felt like I was answering to a lot more. So that's why in lockdown I made such a shift, because I realised I had this sort of moment of clarity where it was like, hang on a moment, I've created my business to give me this freedom, to give me this time back so that I can be there, for my children and stuff. And actually, I'm really busy now and I don't have the time that I thought I would have.
Yeah.
So that then became the reality.
Yeah. Yeah. So what sort of work at that point were you doing for your clients? This was around branding and design, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I was running a lot of sort of branding projects. So I was helping a lot of female entrepreneurs and kind of established companies as well with their branding. And then often what would happen is that I would be commissioned for that piece of work and then it would evolve into helping them create their website and getting their website launched. And then from there, it would then move into sort of maybe the digital marketing side where they would be wanting funnels set up and lead magnets and all of that stuff as well. And that evolved over time. So as my confidence grew and I developed my skills, I was able to sort of provide more services through my business. And I worked with a team of really talented associates that would help me as well. So copywriters, photographers, you know, those kind of people that supported me. So it was great because I was doing all of these amazing projects and having a lot of fun with it. But I was tired and I was burnt out. And that was the thing that was really apparent at the start of the pandemic when everything shut down.
Yeah. So did your work go quiet at that point?
I was at that point, I remember sort of looking in my sort of, I was got a project management system, and I was running 12 live projects, and a percentage of them did. Some went on hold. Mm. There were a few that just continued because the budget was there. Mm-hmm. They were happy for it to continue. But interestingly, how I felt sort of shifted, mm. and how I started to look in on my business. And I think for that I think that with everything coming together, it was like the perfect storm, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Being able to kind of spend some time maybe questioning and reflecting and looking in on things and all of that.
So tell me about the shift that you made at that point. What direction did your business start to go in?
So one of the things that became really apparent, so one of the projects that I had went on hold, and the client wanted, a couple of months later, the client wanted to have the project go live again. Mm-hmm. But what happened is that I wasn't available due to other sort of client work and stuff. And so what then happened was that I ended up in a legal dispute with this client from the April to the November. And I think with the pandemic, with this situation with the client and with everything going on, trying to homeschool and all of that, mm. I think all of that together kind of, for the first time, it made me see my business very differently.
Yeah.
I'd never had a conflict with a client up until that point, and I absolutely hated it. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the client was actually in breach of the contract that we had in place, which is why I had to get legal on board. Mm. And I know it was a reality of running a business, and at some point it was most likely going to be inevitable. But that wasn't why I was running. I had started my business. That wasn't a position I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And so it kind of almost, the reality of the situation became very clear. And also the pressures of lockdown, the pandemic, the reality of sustainability in our businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, in my head, I thought, I'm building a business that I want to have for my children to be a part of when they're older. That was always my intention. But then the thoughts kept coming into my head, this is not sustainable long term if I continue doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because when the pandemic happened, things closed down, things stopped, people stopped earning. And that was a real eye-opener, because obviously that was really the first time that, you know, we'd been exposed to that. So the conversations that I was having were very different. Obviously, there were projects that went on hold. I had this, obviously, dispute with the client. But then what was happening behind the scenes is that I was selling my digital products. I was selling my online course that I'd created years before. So I think when I kind of sat down and I sort of really sort of went over everything, and it wasn't an overnight thing, but what I started to realize was that if we want to build something that's sustainable, that we can have long term, we have to do it differently. And we have to think about reducing the vulnerabilities within our businesses. And the best way to do that is not to put all our eggs in one basket.
Yeah, yeah.
And all my eggs were I felt they were all in one, but they weren't, because I'd created stuff. But at that time, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And it was only when things started to shift with my products and stuff that I started to realize there is another way to kind of approach what we do.
Yeah. So what you do now is you help people to create online courses, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was your initial course about?
Branding. I wanted to make sort of the branding process accessible to entrepreneurs that didn't have the budget to invest in a branding studio. So my first online course, Crafting Your Brand, which is still available, was all about walking people through that initial process so that they can understand exactly what it is they're creating for themselves. So, obviously there's stuff about logo design and colors and fonts and all of that fun stuff, but the strategy and the, you know, getting clear on the vision and what the business is actually about is sort of like this sort of initial part that you need to go through before you even start looking at your identity. So that was my first online course, and that was what I was selling in lockdown, which then made me realize, hang on a moment,
Yeah, you know, something that other people can benefit from too. So yeah, what kind of courses do you help people create?
Oh, it's really varied. I have worked with lots of different clients that have very different topics that they want to create courses in. I had a photographer that photographs dogs. And so she was creating an online course, not for the dogs, but for the owners that wanted these to capture the essence of their hair through photography. So that was really cool. One of my favorite clients, only because I love it when it has a real purpose. And there's a charity that supports carers that are looking after people with dementia. And they are in the process of creating an online course so that they can make the right information accessible to the people that need it, so that they can care for the people that have dementia. So I think that's brilliant because it really does serve on a much deeper level. But outside of that, everything from social media, I had a social media strategist that I worked with to help with their course, confidence coach, so many different, you know, mindset coaching, all different sort of real spectrum of different courses.
So how do you help them? And is it a lot of work to create an online course?
So I think the way to look at this, so in answer to your question is yes. But it's a lot of work to start a business. So, and that's what you're essentially doing when you're creating an online course, because you're essentially creating a brand new revenue stream in your business. What I do with clients is I help them to bring a seed of an idea to life and to validate, first and foremost, whether there is a market for what they're creating. But I also help them to look at it from the perspective of their students. An online course is just a vehicle, getting somebody from a place where they're experiencing a problem to a place of a solution. And often what can happen is people come to an online course thinking that they help people in this area, so that's what they're going to do. They're just going to create a course on mindset because that's what they believe is needed. Where actually what I do is I try and sort of kind of shape their perspective so they start seeing it from their student's perspective and what the student needs for them. Because with an online course, you can go to exactly where your student is so that they can take the course to get the solution that they actually need. So it is very much focused on the results and the transformation that is then going to come from having those results. And that's why online courses are so powerful, because they're just a vehicle for change. That's it.
Yeah. And what difference are your clients finding once they've got that course made and it's out there? What difference is it making to them and their businesses?
Well, I had a client that created an online course, and what difference it made for her was she was able to go on to maternity leave, and she was able to be supported through selling her online course while she wasn't working. So that was pretty amazing, because it was a new revenue stream that she had sort of built out. And then what she did is, while she was off having her baby, her first baby, she then brought VA on board just to kind of keep things ticking over. But she was able to generate income while she was spending that time with her newborn. I had another client that created her online course, was selling her online course, and then took her online course and then created a membership around it. So she then built out two different revenue streams for her business. So it's things like that that you think, oh, actually, you know, this is where it becomes really powerful, because you start building opportunities to make more money, and you're not there in person delivering it over and over again. It's all automated. So you get to do the things that you want to do, but you've built this new revenue stream that can bring in that extra income.
Now, as well as all these things that we've already talked about that you do, you're also a podcast host. So tell me about your podcast.
I am. So my podcast, which was 2 years old on Monday.
Oh, well
which
done.
thank you. I forgot, because I've been in a launch mode of late, and I launched my membership on Monday, and I then had a thought yesterday. I was like, oh my God, yeah, 1st of July, 2 years ago, I launched it. But my podcast is called Digitally She Does It. And it talks about not just online courses, but building business online in the digital space. Mm. And what I try and do through my episodes is give actionable advice that people can implement in their businesses. So it's not for entertainment, I have to say that. It is very much no fluff, you know, actionable content, but it's my way of being able to try and get people to understand how powerful this is for their businesses and how they can do it. Because it's so doable. Yes. And I think that when people think about things like online courses, digital products, memberships, programs, all of that stuff, the overwhelm creeps in because yes. it feels so big.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it. There's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things to think about, but it's like when people start their businesses, there's so much to think about. Yes. But you do it, you get on and you do it, you just, you know, one step at a time. Yep. And that's what I try and do with my podcast. I try and break it down so that we look at everything just one step at a time, just one piece at a time, yeah. just to move you forward.
Yeah. So let's turn to networking now. How do you like to network for your business?
I love networking. I love meeting people. I'm very people driven, if that makes sense. Mm. I need that connection, and that's what networking gives me. I've been networking for the entire time that I've had my business. I used to network, obviously, under the banner of Brandon and Webb. And then in the pandemic, I switched and started to talk about online courses. Mm. But I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. I recently launched my membership, and I made the decision that this time around I was going to launch it off the back of networking. So mm. rather than doing a social media campaign and all of that fun stuff, I actually decided that because I want to bring the right people on board.
Yeah.
It has to be through, you know, relationship building.
Yeah.
And that has proved to be very successful. So, you know, rather than just putting stuff out into the void and hoping that things stick to the wall and things convert, actually the best way of building your business, I believe, is through the power of networking and formulating yeah. those relationships.
Yeah. So what kind of networking events do you like to go to?
These days I seem to be attending a lot of online networking. It works for me. I get to expand my reach. I am part of a network that allows me to network in the US now. So I've recently taken on some US clients, which I've been really excited about. But I really enjoy this type of networking. I do like in-person networking. I do. But it's always a trade-off, isn't it? Time, yeah. money, you know, all of that stuff. Where I can, I try and do in-person. But yeah, I spend a lot of my time in front of the screen these days.
Yeah. And what do you find that networking brings to your business?
It has built my business. It has. It's allowed me to, in the early days, it allowed me to build a really good, solid client base. And I think because of the relationship building that happens, people aren't just a number or a client or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're a person that you build a relationship with. And then by doing that, you build your fans, you build the people, relationships with the people that are happy to go out and endorse you because you have that relationship. Yeah. And I think that goes a long way to growing your business in a sustainable way as well. Mm. In the early days, I was able to, you know, I focused a lot on testimonials and reviews and, you know, credibility statements and things like that. These days, it's allowed me to expand my reach and to be very specific with the clients that I want to work with. Because what I do is so niche, you know, I'm not for everybody. I'm never going to be for everybody. Yeah. It's a certain, you know, type of person that's going to be open to thinking about online courses and expanding in a digital way. What it did for me in the pandemic, and I really want to kind of share this, when I moved my business from sort of focusing on branding to online courses, the way I did it is I was part of an all-female networking group, and I created a framework. I didn't have any content. I had a framework, and I put that framework out when I was networking. And my call to action was, I'm looking for 10 women to come on board so that I can help them create an online course so you can build that new revenue stream in your business. It was a paid for beta.
Yeah.
And in the end, I think I had like 12 or 13 people come on board because I had to balance out my time. I only did that through a networking group, one networking group. Mm-hmm. And what that allowed me to do was start talking about something new, but it gave me an audience that I trusted,
yeah,
and who trusted me to start testing out a new approach to my business.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that, because had I not been able to do that through networking, through that platform, I don't believe I'd be where I am.
Yeah.
And so that, not everybody may experience that side of networking, but for me, it was a game changer, because I was able to work one-to-one with these ladies, and I was able to start proving that the thing that I'd created was working. And off the back of that, I was able to get testimonials and reviews, and then that became referrals and all of that good stuff. But that's what networking did.
Yeah.
It gave me the opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a really powerful story. So thank you for sharing that. So my last question, Karen, then, is if people want to know more about you and your offering, what is the best place for them to find you?
So if you would like to know more about me, then I would encourage you to check out my podcast, Digitally She Does It. I have everything on there, and I don't hold back. So if you want to find out more, go find out. Outside of that, then visit my website, which is www.pink-lemondigital.com. I have it's called the Digital Creators Hub. It's completely free. So if any of your listeners are interested or curious about the online space and whether or not they could start thinking about creating an online course, then the Digital Creators Hub has been set up to support people in that way, and it's completely free. And all you need to do to get access is either visit my podcast or go to my website, and you'll be able to sign up for free. But I've got so much good stuff in there. I've got resources, I've got templates, I've got workshops, recordings, just what it's been created specifically to help people get started.
Wonderful. That sounds like a really good resource, and I'll put the link to that in the show notes. So thank you very much for being my guest, Karen. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.